Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of Slam Fire Radio for September 26, 2013. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy.
I'm Ron freaking Burgundy.
No, apparently you're not Ron.
Yes,
Burgundy.
I am. Take some of your shooting, we're out. Matthew, why don't you introduce our guest?
We have a very special guest this week. It's Rod Giltaka. Did I say that right, Rod?
You sure did, yep.
Awesome. I'm impressed when I can say other people's last names, and I'm more impressed when people can say my last name. But welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here. And you have like a YouTube channel and stuff like that, yeah?
This is true.
Now, see, that we could edit, but we won't. That's something that's staying in. Classic.
Yeah, so you got a YouTube channel. You do, it's Civil Advantage, yeah?
Yeah, the name of the company is Civil Advantage Firearms Training. And, of course, we have the YouTube channel, but we're a firearms training company, and we do a variety of different things. We do the Canadian Firearms Safety Course. And we also do some sim munition training, force-on-force training for law enforcement and for civilians. And, so a few other things. But, yeah, that's basically what we do.
Very awesome. Cool. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But what we normally do to kick off the show is we all go through what we've kind of done with guns in the past week or so. So what have you done with guns recently?
You're throwing it right on me right off the bat.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep. It's all okay. You, buddy.
Fair enough. And you know what? I was prepared.
Oh, very good. That's uh-huh. Unfortunate, though. It doesn't make for good radio.
Okay, well, just let me read my notes. No, actually, I had a pretty busy week with firearms. The weekend before last, I know it's more than a week, but I got to stretch it out a little bit. But I did do some tactical shooting with my little shooting gang. I don't like it when we call it a gang because obviously we get on the radar.
I was just going to wonder about that, yeah.
You and your homies, huh? Down in the hood?
Exactly, yeah. But no, we did a little tactical shoot over at the Abbotsford Fishing Game Club. And the really interesting thing that we did with firearms was last Thursday at the Abbotsford Fishing Game Club, we had ladies' night.
Nice.
That is cool.
And it was it's the first one that I've organized. And, I had some expectations. I thought, okay, it'd be great if we got, you know, 15 at least women there. We had 30 ladies, and that was after, no, we had 29, and that was after 9 no-shows.
Oh, wow. That's so pretty impressive.
It was hopping. And what the object of the night was just to get people that had never shot before, all of the female persuasion, because this is a group that we need the support of. Mm-hmm. In the firearms community, obviously, for a variety of reasons, but it was fantastic. We started out at 7 o'clock. We blocked off one of our ranges for this, which is a 60-yard range, beautiful. And I think we charged $35. That included all the ammunition, and we had 9 stations. So ARs. I had my SU-16 out. A friend of mine's CZ-858 in case it becomes prohibited. And I knew a guy that had a CZ-858 there, but I don't know where he lives. And we had some pistols and some 22s. It was fantastic. By the time the ladies left, we had to kick them off the range. We wanted to go till 9:30. We had to kick them off there at 10 because legally we couldn't shoot after 10.
Right.
So it was fantastic. Yeah.
That's really cool. I like it. Yeah. I like to hear about stuff like that. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Trev, but wasn't the Abbotsford Fish and Game Club the same club that Mike Dixon belonged to? You don't remember?
Well, he didn't shoot there enough to talk about it. So, yes, actually, I believe you are correct. I like
that's
how
funny.
It's years later and we can still make fun of him for not shooting
it's
enough.
Still funny. Do you happen to know Mike at all, Rod, Mike Dixon?
Well, we have 1,000 members.
Okay, so never mind then. So it's like somebody going, "Oh, you live in Canada. Do you know Mike?"
Office Mike.
I know Office Mike. Yeah. All right. Well, never mind then. Yeah, I didn't really see clubs around here are a lot smaller. You know, Florenceville Rifle and Pistol Club has like 30 members, so you know, chances of running into another member are pretty good. But I guess if you got 1,000 members, yeah, I guess not.
Yeah, it gets a little difficult. Do you know Mike? He shoots guns.
Oh yeah, no, Gun Mike. Yeah, no, I know him. Very cool. So what else have you done?
What
As
else?
If that's not
that
enough.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
That is pretty good. That's good.
Yeah, when you take somebody shooting, you get really serious about it. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, we took 30 people shooting, so that was fantastic.
Nice.
Cool. Well, Trev, what did you get up to this week?
I tried to shoot an IPSC match in the Miramichi last
Yeah, how did
Saturday.
That go? I'm just curious.
How did it go? It went something like this. Bang, 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 bang. Bang. Bang, bang,
and
bang,
that's
bang,
not
bang.
Because you got a fast trigger, right?
No.
You had some doubling going on there.
Yeah, 1911s, you know.
Now tell us a little bit again about provincials. You came in first?
To talk about that, yeah, you're right.
So hold on. First of all, your 1911 fell apart. So I mean, that's funny in itself.
No, it's not a 1911. It's a 2011. It didn't fall apart. But yes, let's take a moment to talk about how I used to be provincial champ for 1 week.
Used to be. You were happy for a week, and then it all fell apart.
You know, I'm still happy. It was still an incredible match. They still did a great job.
So are you really upset that they disqualified you for using a 1911 and calling it a 2011?
I still shot like an excellent match. So still really happy with that. So what happened was, I didn't get disqualified for shooting a 2011 in disguise, or a 1911 in disguise, or whatever your bad lame joke was. So what happened was, and I believe I talked about this last week, where you know the only hiccup in the match up until recently was stage 3 was pulled from the match because of it was plagued with equipment malfunctions, and so they just decided to pull it.
Right.
The message didn't get sent along to the stats tent, and so when they calculated the scores, I don't know exactly how it happened, but what happened was they calculated the scores for all of us who shot stage 3 with stage 3 in our scores.
Okay. Right. Okay.
All right, let me try this again.
You had extra points is what happened. They didn't pull the stage from everybody.
Yeah. So there were 16 stages.
Yeah.
And when they calculated the scores for everyone, they forgot to take stage 3 out of those calculations. So anyone who shot stage 3 had extra points that the other shooters didn't have an opportunity to try and obtain.
That's right. Yep.
So
makes sense.
We noticed it right away. As a matter of fact, myself and Jody Waring, who was in second place and now is in first place, he was showing me how to figure out if the scores posted were correct based on my score sheets and teaching me how to do the quick mental math and stuff.
Comparing numbers with numbers. I know. I mean, it is a hard strategy to figure out, but I'm sure you can get it.
So we noticed stage 3 was there, and we said to the guy posting the scores, stage 3 has been posted, but it was supposed to be pulled from the match. And he said, "Oh, I'll take care of that right away." And right away, I guess, was a week later.
Right.
They went and they made the announcements. They handed out the awards. I was in first place, and Jody was 99.38% of me. It was brought to the match director's attention like later on that night or the next day of the error. And so he did everything he could to keep it transparent and fair and equitable and all that stuff. And he actually went all the way to IPSC Canada to figure out what to do about this. And the answer is obvious. There's only one thing to do about it.
Fix the scores.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who got what trophy.
That's right.
You got to fix the scores to the way it was supposed to be. So recalculate the match without stage 3, and wherever people finished, that's how they finished. End of story. I was in no way upset about it whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. Like you said, you did have a good match still. So
yeah, and I mean, you know, I didn't want to win on some technicality. I mean, everybody's has to have the same opportunity to get the same amount of points.
That's right.
So when all was said and done, Jody was first with, you know, the 100%, and I was 98 point something of him. So there was still less than 2% between myself and Jody. So I'm
You two shot really close within each other. Yeah. That's true.
So I'm still really happy, no matter what. So, and back then, my 2011 worked flawlessly.
Right.
So I got the 2011, and it had a large aluminum grip on it, and it was tuned and set up and worked great. And then I decided to mess with it.
And that's when it started to break.
Well, it never broke.
That's when it started to double.
Right, and quadruple. Yeah. So what happened was the small...
I think we already went over what happened. It started to malfunction, and now you're going to fix it.
What happened was the sear spring was tuned for the large grip, and when I put it in the small grip, it was not allowing... It was not resetting the disconnector. So I sent it back to Freedom Ventures. He's going to install a new sear spring, a new flat mainspring housing, and I kept the original sear spring here because it worked with that other grip, unfortunately, which is cracked. So anyway, he's going to tune it all up and send it back to me. It kind of it irks me that, you know, if it was a Glock, it would be done by me, myself, but this is not a Glock. They're a bit more of a finicky firearm. Everybody knows that, and you should have an experienced gunsmith who knows what they're doing, work on them, especially if you want it, you know, tuned. So that's what he's going to do. But come hell or high water, I'm not setting my gun away again. I will learn how to do this because I like to be able to do all my own work. So anyway.
Well, when you own a Ferrari, you don't do your own oil changes.
Well, this is it, right? This is a great analogy, and that's kind of the best way to look at it. The Glock is what it is, and you can, you know, it's user friendly, but the 1911 platform and the 2011 wannabe 1911 is not so user friendly. It is if you're just going to put general parts in it and leave it go, but you know, it's a tuned firearm, so.
Yep.
So that being said, I must be a sucker for punishment because I ordered another one.
Of course you did.
Yeah. So selling off a whole bunch of guns, I put my Glock 22 on CGN. I put my Glock 35 with all of the belt and all the mags and everything on CGN. My Savage Mark II, my Savage 93R 17 HMR, the Stag AR that I built, and my XCR. All four of the rifles are sold pending payment. So that's cool. And that money is going to go pay for my new STI apparel. And I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But it's STI's top of the line gun. And it has the, hybrid barrel that has, it's not a hybrid as in it has comps in or anything, but it's an island barrel. So there's the slide is cut away to allow for extra material on the top of the barrel, and your front sight is actually mounted on the barrel itself and not on the slide. So your rear sight moves with the slide, your front sight is on the barrel.
Cool. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. It's got the polymer grip instead of an aluminum grip. And if I like it, then maybe on my Eagle, I'll go to the polymer grip as well. Just so that they have the exact same feel.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have a backup gun, you might as well have it almost exactly the same as your original.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I did finish the match, by the way.
Oh, that's good. With
A CZ-75. And not even like a shadow. I mean, this gun's older than you are. This gun belonged to Doug from the Miramichi.
You know, nice.
His IPSC alias is Old Guy or Old Timer or something like that. Anyway, it was like shooting a BB gun. This cute little 9mm with the little pew, pew, pew bullets. Man, I still finished third.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to go to standard minor and have my scores recalculated and stuff. But anyway, it was a heck of a lot of fun to shoot, especially when I remembered to take the safety off when I took it out of the holster, and especially when I didn't put the safety back on. What else did I fumble? Some mag changes. I was having one really horrid 32-round stage, and the guy said I gave them a tutorial. I didn't realize it, but I was talking out loud.
While
I was shooting, so it's like, oh, I made that mag change too soon. Oh, I got to go back and pick up that alpha. I did mess that up. Anyway, they were
that's funny.
The squad was peeing themselves. So, other than that, I got out and shot ARs this week. I put that new loophole on my STI, but I didn't really have a chance to run it because I've been, you know, getting ready for provincials and shooting my new STI 2011 and. There was the National. I went to Vancouver after the Nationals. Right. So anyway, right. I brought this thing back from Vancouver with me. I never really got a chance to get out and run it. So the first time I ran it, I didn't like it so much. I found that when I popped the gun up with both eyes open, I wasn't getting a clear sight picture, and I wasn't getting the eye relief I needed. Yep. And the NEA was just so much faster with the EOTech. But I brought it out tonight, and tonight it ran the way it was supposed to, or I ran it the way I was supposed to, but I had good eye relief every time I popped it up. And what I noticed, the problem I initially had with it was running and, you know, walking into a shooting position and backing out of a shooting position while shooting.
Right.
And I found it very easy to lose the eye relief that way, especially, you know, going around corners and stuff. So I played in the maze with it last time and again tonight, and no problem. Both eyes open, pop the gun up and go.
Just a matter of some practice then?
That's it. That's all it is. And I started looking online at what the guys in the Three Gun Nation circuit are using. And they all have a 1-4 or a 1-5 or a 1.5-5 power scope on their gun. And some of them are running irons at a 45-degree angle, and some of them have a little red dot on the side there. I know that we could get away with just using a red dot for the distances we shoot in Three Gun, but I'm not running my NEA, and I'm not taking my EOTech off of it. My guns are set up the way they're set up, and I'll learn to run them that way.
Yep.
And I want to learn to run this one this way. And actually, I'm half tempted to sell my STI AR and get the Stag 3-gun gun. I want a longer barrel, an 18.5-inch barrel, longer handguard. And I went to an A2 stock, and now I'm thinking about going back to an M4 collapsible again, but...
Just can't make up your mind.
No. It's just my NEA is so bloody comfortable. And the stock that's on my NEA is the same stock that comes on the Stag 3-gun. T-shirts, moving right along here. I finally got Cigar Buff. And Cigar Buff is spelled with 3 F's. You pointed that out once last week when I was talking about how I won a knife on his channel and put a plug-in for his YouTube channel. I neglected to mention that Cigar Buff is spelled with 3 F's. I don't know why. Sub him and then send him a message and ask him why he spells it with 3 F's. But anyway, there's 2 shirts left. Cigar Buff was paid for, and I hadn't sent it out yet. And there's one other shirt that is ordered, and I've got your name on it, but I haven't received payment for it. So I'm going to send that person an email or a private message or whatever and find out. They're down in the States, so I want to find out how they want to pay for it, and I'll get that sent out. What did we sell the shirts for, Matthew? $20?
$20 plus shipping, I believe.
Yeah, $20 plus shipping, yeah. I forgot to – I'm going to cover Cigar Buffs because it took so long to send it, but it cost me $14 to send it to them. So, and that being said, we have 2 t-shirts left. We have 1 medium and 1 extra large. So if anybody wants a medium or an extra large, we have them here.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right. That would have taken half the time if you would just, you know,
what?
With the cheesy jokes and the interrupt.
Right. If I didn't interrupt trying to get you to go shorter, you know, not explain all the little intricate details of how
Yeah, because you're just repeating what I'm, yeah. So every time you do that now, I'm going to stretch it out.
Okay, very good. That I now know. So if I just don't interrupt you, you'll be like 30 seconds long?
I'll get it done, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll try it out. Wait, didn't we try that out a couple episodes ago and you went for 45 minutes?
You must have been something to bug me. I don't know. Move on to the topic.
How about I tell you what I did with guns? You do that to me a lot, too.
I do that to you. That's like 3 times.
That's 3 times now. Yeah. Apparently, I just don't matter to you.
Because look,
just gonna start crying.
Put them in order. Put them in order. After me comes the main topic. I'm following the notes. I'm very going in order. Trevor, main topic, listener feedback. It doesn't say Trevor Matthew, main topic, listener feedback.
No, that's well.
You should put Rod, Trevor, Matthew. Where's Owen? Why isn't
Owen? Wait. Didn't you put the notes together this week?
I didn't. Change the format of the template.
That's right, because you were the one. All right. Anyway, what I did with guns this week, Owen's not here. Owen is away.
Because I hate the fans and he's with his family. That's what you're going to say, right?
Probably, yeah. Actually, he's doing something with his church. But
is Rod still here, or has he gotten completely... Rod,
he got bored and wandered off.
Yeah, just like Owen does.
What? Sorry, guys. I was just catching a couple of Z's. What's going on?
It happens. Just making sure you're still hanging in there. We'll get to you in a minute.
We're almost done. I don't take very long. I did break my shotgun this week, so that was fun. It sounded kind of like that, except it didn't work. I was actually, Owen and I shot the first episode of Is It Bulletproof, a new feature on my YouTube channel, which isn't up yet because I haven't gotten around to editing it because mostly I'm lazy. But it'll be up there eventually. And you'll get to see on there the exact moment the pump actually fails. So the connecting arms that the pump actuates, they fail. They actually broke away from the pump itself. So it's not a pump shotgun anymore. It's just a single shot that you manually load very carefully with your fingers. So I have a new system or a new pump on the way, and I do actually have the replacement parts I needed here at home already. So I just need that one part. The gun actually does work right now. I just took the broken pump off, and now I have the assembly put back on. So the gun does work. It's just very uncomfortable. So once that comes, it'll be good. It's a Fab Defense, and it has a rail system on it, which is going to be interesting. I've never really thought about putting rails on a pump before, but I guess it could work. I could put a flashlight up there.
Yep, and
lasers.
And freaking laser beams. I like the Fab Defense stuff. My CZ-858, which I really shouldn't have sold, that was all decked out in Fab Defense gear.
Right.
And you say you got it from Wolverine?
I got it from Wolverine, yeah.
Yeah, cancel it and get it directly from them in Israel, and it'll be a third of the price with free shipping from Israel.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'll look into that.
All the stuff that I got, like a $25 buttstock, they want like $25 for it, and they want $110 at Wolverine. Like, seriously, go check the prices at Zoll.org.
Zoll. Yep, I will check that out right away. Very good.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's great there, yeah.
Cool. So those were the most interesting thing. Now, you guys know that I work in a school, and that, normal schools, guns are pretty much allowed.
Yeah.
Not allowed. We're going to go with not allowed there.
Forbidden.
So we've talked about my school a bit in the past where we had, it was wear camo to school day. That was cool. I told you the story about how we had the airsoft gun picture up on YouTube while one of the teachers was showing a video and nobody batted an eye.
Wasn't there a water gun something too?
There was a water gun target shoot at the track and field day last year. So yeah, I mean, we're not exactly anti-gun, but this one took the cake. There were toy guns in the school halls today. Like, not just regular, I mean, one of them had the orange tipped barrel, but there was a replica, not quite replica, but it was a life-size, completely black Uzi wandering around while they were shooting a video.
Oh, wow.
It was for one of the video club projects. So there was cops and robbers, apparently. They had handcuffs, and people were held at gunpoint while people got arrested and stuff. And, the SWAT team didn't come or nothing.
How many kittens died?
None. Not a single one. Can you imagine?
How many
people have
parents?
Been lying? No, not a single one.
Hmm.
No,
confused.
It's almost as if common sense still reigns around here a little bit. So I was very happy to see that. And to top it all off, of course, I'm wearing my brand new IPSC jacket to school every day with a great big IPSC logo on the back. So
yeah, as am I. Yep.
Very
yep.
good. Yep. I've had a couple of students, whoa, are you a cop? I'm like, no.
But anyway, I shoot better than one.
I shoot better than them, but no, not a cop. But anyway, yeah, I just want to, brag a bit more about how cool my school is that I work in. So
yeah, at my school, the principal owns 3 AR-15s and 2 shotguns.
wait, that's you.
That's me.
And you take them shooting crossbows in the backyard sometimes.
Yeah, that's right. I used to take a bow to school or a crossbow and sight it in at lunch and let the kids come out and try it.
Yep, that's a cool school to be at too.
Yeah, but you kind of don't want to go to my school.
No, you're the. See, it's funny. We joke about how I drive the short bus, but
oh,
really?
No,
it's a slightly different. Anyway,
alternative education for those who would otherwise be out on the street.
That's right. And it's a good thing that you do, and you do a good job at it. Stray off topic here, because this is getting uncomfortable really fast.
Yeah, that's enough.
Yeah, I'm breaking out in a sweat here. So, Rod, you're still with us, apparently.
What?
We're sorry. No, it's just what we do.
You should have been warned, Rod.
I did kind of warn him. I didn't give him enough of a warning, though,
Are you going to ask him to tell us about his background? And well, Rod, you said I'm just going to take over.
Yeah,
Rod,
that's what I was kind of hoping for, so go nuts.
Rod, you mentioned that the Civil Advantage is a firearms training company. And that you offer the non-restricted and restricted firearms training courses, but you also offer force-on-force and simulation training for law enforcement. Is that correct?
Yeah, simunition training. Yeah,
simunition training. Okay, and so tell us a little bit about how that started. How'd you get into that? Like, bring us just give us a brief history of Civil Advantage and how it started.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I got into guns. Well, I'm sure you've seen that Canadian gun culture video on my YouTube channel where I think it's called How I Met the Gun.
Nice.
Did you check that that video out, Trevor?
I don't think I saw that one, no.
Oh, okay. Well, it does kind of tell the story, but I'll give you the super condensed version. But basically, I never grew up with guns. I never saw a firearm till I was in my mid-30s.
Wow.
Yeah. And oddly enough, I wouldn't have considered myself anti-gun. I just had no idea why I would own a firearm. Never crossed my mind, but
sure. Yeah.
I'm in national sales, by trade. I'm an electrician by trade, but I was working in the manufacturing sector doing national sales. And a couple of my clients were the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Marine Corps. And
this part I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. Spending enough time around those guys, I ended up turning into a firearm fanatic.
Yeah.
And when I moved into my new home, I guess that was about 7 years ago, I did have a couple of guns. But, I was just kind of a regular shooter kind of thing. And one of my neighbors was my current business partner, who's a 20-year ERT operator, 10 years as team leader for the multi-jurisdictional ERT that used to be the ERT for all the private police departments here in Lower Mainland Vancouver, British Columbia, I should say. So we were having a beer one day, I guess you could say sort of an entrepreneur, and he said, do you think civilians would want to learn room entry and that kind of stuff? And I'm like, yeah, have I got a job for you? So before we knew it, we started Civil Advantage together, and we started to give civilians the opportunity to learn these types of skills. And as far as I'm aware, the way that we do it, we're the only ones that I'm aware of in the country that that allows civilians to do simunition training.
Oh,
yeah,
Matthew,
I so want to go out there and play. I know. Oh, it's like, come on.
Come to the Ipswich Nationals with me next year, and then we'll take an extra week and go see Rod.
Right. Yeah. No, that'll be cool.
Well, there you go. So we have 12 Glock ammunition pistols, Glock Model 17 Ts.
Question. Mm-hmm. What kind of hoops did you have to go through to get those?
You don't have to go through any hoops. They're just, you know what? And here's an interesting little side note. By definition in the Firearms Act, they are not firearms.
Because they, exactly. Because they don't, what is it? They're less than 500 feet per second when they shoot, right?
Yeah. That's right. So actually when Matt got these guns, the Firearm Center said, well, we'd like you to register them as restricted firearms. And, he's active duty law enforcement. He's like, well, but they're not firearms. And they're like, yeah, we know, but we'd like you to register them. We want you to register them anyway.
And he said, yeah, we're not going to do that.
No. He's like, well, but why? And they're like, well, they're built on a firearm frame, and there's a provision in the Firearms Act that says that, or the regulation that says that if the projectile doesn't travel at more than 500 feet per second, but the parts are built on the frame of a real firearm, then it still qualifies as a firearm. So oddly enough, he registers them, and he asks them the obvious question, which is, well, listen, we're shooting these not on an approved shooting range in Canada. We're shooting these in houses at other people. So in Canada, it's a criminal offense to point a firearm at another human being, whether it's loaded or not. And we're doing that constantly.
Yeah.
With, putting a lot of effort into it, I might add.
Yeah.
And we're discharging them, in residential areas where a firearm can't be legally and safely discharged. And they're like, oh, yeah, but that's okay. So...
As long as they got something out of you guys, right?
Yeah, they just wanted something on the books.
They needed their pound of flesh. They needed something.
But it's still, you know, either the law is the law or it isn't, right? But anyway, so it's funny. So I had him here at the house. I was cleaning them all, which is quite a chore. And I took the slide off the Model 17T and tried to put it on the frame of my Model 17. And it doesn't fit, man.
So it's different.
It's different. It is not built on a real firearm frame.
So they shouldn't have been registered in the first place.
No. They shouldn't.
I don't suppose it's possible to deregister them.
Yeah, don't worry about those guns. We sold them. Okay. But yeah, so anyway. So we got those Glock pistols, and we do high-risk room entry training. We do active shooter training, hostage rescue, all live fire, force on force. And we do allow civilians that end up getting vetted somewhat to take part in that training. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
And that sounds like a lot of fun.
All the details for that can be found on your website, because I've gone through there before quite a while ago now. I don't know if it's been changed or anything. I don't want to speak out of turn because I haven't been there in a while. But at one time, anyway, all the details for the training and the cost and everything was on your website, correct?
There's an old listing for the last course we did. We're not going to do it. Usually we'd only do training like that for a full weekend twice a year, which is spring and fall. We're not going to do a fall training. I'm running around like crazy and Matt's super busy. So we're probably going to skip it. But we will have training in the spring. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Excellent. And what other types of training do you do?
Well, we do some other stuff that's quite unique. One of the things that, because I got into guns at, you know, at a little older age, I remember what that process was very clearly. And there's actually a story that I tell in the firearm safety course of some of my first experiences with firearms, because in Canada, we have to get licensed and we have to take the 2-day course. That's true. But after that, you get a license and it's like, well, here, you know, go buy your guns and go to the range and try to remember everything and don't get shot or shoot somebody. You know, that's about it. So right. I mean, I made a few mistakes myself. And so something that I thought was really lacking.
Did when you made a mistake, did you put it on YouTube?
No.
So you're smarter than Trevor and I then. So
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
We've I put lots of mistakes on YouTube, and none that are, you know, wouldn't
result. None that shut down a range though.
Yeah. Or result in property damage or death.
Oh yeah. No, we didn't do any of that, but you know.
And technically speaking, our video did not shut down the range.
No, it didn't.
It was used as an excuse to go inspect the range and then found reasons to shut it down.
Yeah, it was funnier the other way, though, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, well, that story's still going around this area, so.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. You're still catching flack for that, for something that's not even your fault, but anyway, whatever. Yeah. It's still funny to me, so.
Yeah, to you, yeah.
Yeah.
So, carry on, Rod.
Where were you again?
I don't know. Where was I? But yeah, something that I thought was really lacking was a beginner's course and it's live fire. So where you can actually go onto the range with an instructor, shoot 5 different guns and come off the range with an instructor. And that's not something that's so we do offer something like that. And there's a video on that on the YouTube channel. But that's been a pretty good opportunity for people getting into the sport, because it's very inexpensive. I think we charge $140 for that, including all the ammunition, the range fee. You get to shoot an AR, the CZ-858. What else? 9mm pistol, the Glock or the SIG, whichever one you want. And 12-gauge shotgun. And I think an SKS. Anyway, it changes. But it's pretty unique in that you don't need a PAL to do that. When people come through the PAL course, I say, hey, listen, between now and when you get your license, if you want to do one of these, no problem. I'll come and do that one with you. And it's made a lot of people a lot more comfortable.
Well, that's really cool because, they actually get some practical shooting time in and get to actually shoot some guns under the direction of somebody who knows what they're doing. They can kind of, that first range trip is now so much less stressful because they've actually done it before.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think it would speed up the process immensely for people not knowing what to get, where to go, what they like. They get to try different types of firearms, and then they've now narrowed their search and can start buying right away when their license comes in. I went 7 years before I bought my first restricted after I got my restricted license.
Hmm.
You did get slightly sidetracked, though.
Yeah, I was involved in competitive archery, but still, if something like this existed, I probably would have gotten off my butt and spent some money and got out shooting a lot sooner. This is you need to actually pass a road test before they'll give you a driver's license, but you don't have to pass a shooting test before they give you a gun license. And you can get in the whole debate, well, should we even have gun licenses in the first place? But it's just kind of, again, a law is a law or a law isn't a law. Here they license you to have a firearm, but they never actually check and see if you know how to use said firearm. So you're filling a niche, a very important niche too.
I like it.
Yeah. Maybe some of these people will go, maybe, and some of them probably for the best, will go out and try a gun and then think, maybe I shouldn't get a gun.
And more importantly, maybe some of these people won't get involved in competitive archery.
Prevention is the key. Yeah, prevention
that's right.
is the key.
Yeah. Gun owners keeping people out of archery.
That's right. That's my goal in my
Matthew's
gun owner
new
career.
Group. Yeah.
Yeah. So, pay it forward. Well,
yeah. One of the things I'd like to say about your YouTube channel is on a couple of the videos, I've noticed a bit of a theme where you focused on some of the Canadian firearms. And I don't mean – and they're not all necessarily made in Canada, but you focused on some of the firearms that we can get that the Americans can't get. You pointed out differences with certain firearms that we get up here that they don't have down there. There's a real Canadian flavor to firearms ownership in your channel. Like, there's no question when you get on there, you know that within the first couple of seconds, you're watching a Canadian who's in love with gun culture talking about guns in Canada and gun ownership in Canada. It's very, very well done.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm doing the best that I can with my $8 budget, you know?
There you go. Yeah, well, you're stretching it a long way. You're doing good. So,
yeah.
And
well,
what about?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was trying to squeeze in a question. I listened to last week's podcast, and you guys had Jeff Atkinson, the ATC holder.
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. See how well researched I am.
quite. You spent yes. an hour and a half of your time listening to our show. You are clearly. Well, demented. So.
We're sorry. Yeah.
But I had a question. You know, you guys covered a lot of stuff with him, but my question, I don't know if you guys have the answer to it, is does he have an ATT to take his restricted firearm from his home to any wooded area in the province?
I think the ATC, it's rolled into the ATC, right?
I don't know. That's a good question. Jeff, send us an email, man, or contact me on Facebook or Skype.
Yeah, because
we'll bring that answer to you next week.
Yeah, because I would imagine that even if he's got an authorization to carry, it's an authorization to carry only in, you know, at his job, right? So he's got to get the gun there somehow.
That's right. Yeah, so technically, if he's on his way out to work and he gets pulled over for speeding, the cop says, "Oh, you got a gun in the car. Can I say your ATT for that?" Well,
no, but here's
my ATC. And you would hope that that common sense would kick in there and the cop would go, "Okay, yeah, very good. You're on your way."
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
again,
whoa,
maybe
whoa.
Not. Yeah, I know. Hey, what? What world are you living in, McClatchy?
Exactly.
No idea.
Where have you been shooting?
New Brunswick, apparently.
So. Yeah. It's almost as free as Alberta.
Oh, no. Yeah, only in my school. That's it. But yeah. Very good. All right. What did you have something else for him, Trevor?
I had. I think it's gone. Oh, hunting. Any? You do any hunting, Rod?
Well, I have mentioned on a couple of the videos. I'm not a hunter, and I have to use that as a pretty obvious disclaimer because you know things like you know why is a 22 important, stuff like that, and I'm really upfront
yeah.
about it. You know, I have to get this admission out. I've never been hunting ever.
You got to work on that.
I know. But here's the thing. I never grew up around guns. I never knew anybody that hunted.
Right.
And I just wasn't there. Now I do have one guy that came through the course that I was friends with and he got into hunting and he's invited me several times, but you know, I'm working during the week in my manufacturing business and firearms as well. And then teaching on the weekends. So it's doesn't leave me a lot of time to get out there and learn. Right. But
that's
something
true.
I'd love to do.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. You get into it with somebody who's already into it. Right. And what about competition shooting, IPSC or IDPA, or have you ever tried any of that stuff, three gun?
Well, that's another thing. I have done some three gun stuff, but casual stuff, you know, at a range, just kind of drop in. But again, I just don't have that extra time in my life to really do a lot of hobby shooting. I try to keep my skills up in tactical shooting, because I think that's a good skill to have.
Yep, it's definitely a perishable skill. We've talked about it before, where you actually need to practice doing that. It's not like riding a bike; you forget.
Oh yeah, well yeah, and those are very fine skills, motor skills that you know that you're having to perform under stress. Luckily for me, I've been able to do enough simunition training, as we talked about, forest training, tactical shooting. I've gotten a lot more experience than your average civilian. I still would consider myself a average shooter, don't get me wrong, but so luckily I've got a good head start on it, but that's probably the only thing I really have time to keep up with, to be honest.
Now let's talk about the simunition training just for a quick sec. This is the question everybody asks, right? How much does it hurt?
Well, the projectile itself was designed specifically to not be a firearm, but to be as close to a firearm as possible. So those little pellets run at about 450 feet per second.
That's moving.
It is moving, and it's a small projectile. So probably the worst injury is when you get it either in the neck, if you get it in the neck or the knuckles.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine.
Oh, it just smooshes your skin right off your knuckles.
Yep.
You're bleeding.
Yep.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, that's.
Oh
that's
yeah, you point. You want to train people to understand that when you get shot, it's not a pleasant experience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, well, and it's stress inoculation, right? So you want people to get hit in the morning. And you want them to feel that stress, because that's the only way they're going to get any kind of value out of that kind of training. You know?
Yeah, that's a good point. So you just line them up, right? Like firing squad is the first event.
First thing, yep.
All right, boys, up against the wall.
Everybody lift your shirts up, you know?
Right in the nipple. Ow.
That's going to leave a mark.
Yeah. But,
it's really interesting training, and it's very interesting to witness – you know, all these different people. Sometimes I know the guys that come through. You get to witness a lot of things that people don't normally see. I mean, you get to see full-on active duty police officers completely light people up that have a coffee, Tim Horton coffee cup in their hand. And, you know, oh, yeah.
It looks like a gun. Oh, yeah, he was going to throw it on me.
It's no joke. And of course, you know, like everyone does when they, you know, screw up in a sport or something, they come, they throw out the F-bomb as they're walking out of the house going, you know,
yeah,
I screwed up. It's like, you screwed up, you know? Okay. Yeah, fair enough. But you get to see some good stuff. You get to see some different people and how they react to stress. And it is always kind of surprising to me, because I shoot with a lot of different people, a lot of people that are absolute gun fanatics, you know, tactical guys, and some of them respond really well in that environment when there's people shooting back at them, and some don't.
Yeah, that's why I want to get in that environment, because I want to know how I will respond. Like we talked about this with Daniel Shaw. He's a former Marine who's starting a training academy, and you know, a lot of people in the United States are going and taking training courses so that they can be better with their firearm. Because they've got a concealed carry permit, and you're standing on a line and you're shooting at a target that doesn't move, and you're just standing stationary in the line in perfect stance, in perfect concentration.
That's not really going to teach you anything whenever you get into an actual dynamic shooting situation.
Even in Masada Yub's course that I took, Mag 40, there's a, you know, stress fire, he calls it. But it's not as stressful as when you're in a house
and getting shot at.
Somebody shooting back at you. Yeah. Yeah, you got to know how you're going to respond in that situation. And you'd like to do it under controlled circumstances if possible. So you hope that like I hope I won't just start crying and pee myself, but I can't guarantee that.
If you do, I'll try my best to get it on YouTube.
No, just shoot me. If a firefight ever breaks out and I start cowering and crying, if the other guy doesn't get me first, I need you to put one into me. So I'll never live it down.
So. This is getting a little dark.
That's where we go, the dark side of the moon.
Yeah, put me down.
Yeah. Put me down, boy. I'm useless.
That's right. I'm crying. Put me down.
All right. Well, let's move on to something a bit more depressing. Rod, you and I, we've talked about Canadian gun culture a bit, and you asked me this question on your show, so I'm going to ask you: where do you think we're heading in Canada, gun culture wise, and with with the recent turn of events, with fairly recent, losing the long gun registry and stuff like that? So, just kind of give me your synopsis of where you feel we are in Canada, and where do you think we're headed?
Well, that's a pretty big question.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt too when you popped it on me. So there you go.
Yeah, I think we're heading in the right direction. And we were talking yesterday, and I was for Trevor, because you weren't part of that conversation.
And that was on purpose, Trevor, just so you know.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, I was like, man, Matthew, I got all this information for you, and I don't want to talk IPSC right now.
Right.
So.
Somebody's locking and loading.
That was coincidental.
Sure was.
Someone has anger issues. Yeah. But, we were having a good little chat. And what I had mentioned to Matthew was that I was reading something on a very large firearms forum in Canada here. And Matthew knows I don't like to advertise to people that restrict you from even using your name in case that leads to benefit for you.
Yeah, right on. Good for you. I should adopt the same philosophy.
Well, anyway, what comes around goes around. But in any case, what I had read on this particular forum was some information on the – now, what do we call this thing? It's the policy priority resolution document for the Canadian Conservative Party.
Right.
And what that is they're basically their theology of how they come up with campaign promises for their next election cycle. And so I ended up looking through this document. I actually have it right here, which is kind of cool. And there's some really, really interesting things. Now, before we kind of talk about these, we have to do a little reality check. Are the Conservatives going to get elected again? Who knows, right?
It's going to be what it is. So.
Well, I was hoping for the shiny pony myself.
Yeah, and we're done. Thanks for joining us, Rod.
Exactly. Yeah, JT, as we call him. But I in my opinion, I don't think that's going to happen. But that would be a real setback for us. But, you know, we don't have to talk about all these different things that they got in here. But I'm really surprised. You know, we've got some information that they're going over that they're going to put forward to put into their platform that reflects that private ownership of firearms is a right first, not a privilege, a right that has to, that if you want to take away that right, you have to come up with legal grounds to do that. Right now it's a privilege and it's up to you to prove that, you know, you're worthy to own a firearm.
Right.
Also they're looking at introducing more legislation to heighten, like to have a priority on citizens' rights when it comes to use of a firearm for self-defense than criminal rights. And I know it's quite a crazy concept, but these guys are loose cannons when it comes to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, they want to revise the way that reclassification takes place.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Especially if it made more sense instead of less sense, because I don't think it could make less sense as it is right now.
It's unbelievable. You like, you know, some of the stuff, I mean, you guys know, right? We're all living mm-hmm. it as firearm yep. owners, but you couldn't make it up. You couldn't tell somebody a story that didn't know about gun laws and say, oh yeah, and here's what we do. And they're just, you know, they'd be face bombing themselves constantly. Right.
Yep.
What else? So reclassification is going to get, and they want to rewrite the Firearms Act to make sure that the language is a lot more clear on what the Firearms Act's trying to do and how it would be interpreted in court. So
I like the majority of those. I mean, I really like the part where it says they're looking at making firearms ownership a right as opposed to a privilege. And that's the way it should be.
Well,
with all personal property, you yes. have the right to own whatever the heck you want to own.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
I really like that part. So I'm really hoping that part goes through.
So, I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of, yeah, maybe, you know, Harper and the boys get back in. You know, and don't get me wrong. I'm not a, you know, conservative party. Like, I'm not even a member of the conservative party. To be honest with you, I voted in the last three elections conservative. You know, I don't agree with everything that those guys do, but that's just part of being in a representative democracy, not a, a direct democracy, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, you elect a guy, and it's like, okay, well, I hope the ride's not going to be too rough.
You know, right. But I, yeah. You vote for the guy that's the least amount of evil, kind of thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, without I don't want to get too hard on them, but yeah, sure. I don't agree with everything. But I'll tell you, the common sense, and this is something that you know we talked about briefly in our interview for the YouTube channel, is that the one thing unique about the conservatives is, as long as I've been voting age, or you know, old enough to remember, you know, to be aware of my place in society, I don't ever remember having more rights at the end of a government's term than I did at the beginning. That's always right. Less rights.
Yeah.
And this is unprecedented in my history in Canada, that's for sure. So it's, I think it's going in the right direction. Long answer.
That, yeah. So long as, like you said, the shiny pony doesn't get in.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? I mean,
we'd be done. Oh. It'd just be over.
You know, it's funny, 'cause I have people, they're like, oh, don't underestimate, you know,
don't underestimate,
you know, his dad was a big figure, and you know, he's the son, he's good looking, and you know, he's from
he's
Quebec.
Good looking, there you go, that's the one reason to vote for him. Are you kidding? Well, me,
some people will just
I that, know, you know that really mean, irritates geez. Me
yeah. Oh my God, man. And I my response to that is, yeah, but you know what, sooner or later he's gonna have to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And when and, he does, he sinks himself.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all over. You know, I think I just saw my buddy JT there on a clip, I think it was about 2 months ago. And I thought, oh, you know, he's going to talk. I better pay attention to make sure, you know, I'm not spreading disinfo. And sure enough.
You were not disappointed, huh?
Oh, he never disappoints, because I think he spoke for about, you know, 120 seconds straight and he said nothing.
It's amazing how politicians can do that, huh? They just spew nothingness.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, he didn't say anything. I'm like, okay. Hopefully the populace is smart enough to see past that.
Yeah, I hope so. And well, the thing is, like you said, though, I mean, it's almost like a celebrity and what do you call that, popularity contest? You know, who's the prettiest? Who's the best looking? And for some people, that's literally what they vote for. So, I hope that does not happen this time around.
Yeah, that's very indicative of U.S. politics. Where a lot of it, I mean, the lies is, you know, are incredible, where they're like, here's what I'm going to do. And they just flat out just don't do it. They do the opposite.
Yeah. It's amazing.
And it's accepted. Yeah. And it's accepted. Whereas in Canada, it's a little bit different. We're not so much into the flashy politicians. Well, I mean, Harper's pretty flashy. Agree. But,
sure.
Exactly. In a really not flashy kind of way, but
right.
You know,
yeah.
Harper's just like, here's what I am. This is it. I'm not going to dance for you. I'm not going to go play a saxophone on Jay Leno. You know what I mean? Right. It's that's Canadian politics is what it should be, which is, you know, I'm hired to do a job and I'm going to do it.
Yep.
And, I, you know, hopefully we haven't moved so much, you know, towards a US style politics where, just because somebody's dad, you know, there's all this great footage of Trudeau, you know, fingering the, you know, the media that we think that his son would be a good fit. I mean, you know, based on no substance.
Yeah.
That'd be a nightmare. That'd be a rough ride, guys.
It would be. It'd be. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the Liberals have said they want to just basically ban all semi-autos, all pistols. Like, it'd be, they'd just basically take away everything except single shot shotguns and 22s probably.
Come and take it.
Yeah, that's that should be the cry. At least I would hope it would be.
Yeah, I'm not saying that literally so that the ERT doesn't kick my door in later this evening.
No, not in that, but in a more of a on a soapbox, and we're going to vote you back out of office as quick as we voted you in sort of way.
Well, I see some of the changes that the Conservatives have made. They've made them so quickly and not brutally, but, you know, we have a mandate and we're making these changes. We promised we'd do it. I'm getting lightheaded, you know, because a politician, you know, actually
kept
fulfilled their promise. Yeah, exactly. Now I'm all disoriented.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was almost punitive in a sense, because they, as soon as they got a majority, that the registry was gone in like, what was it, like 5 months, right?
It was the fastest I've ever seen the law go through.
Absolutely. Right. So hopefully that if someone else gets a majority, that it's not as punitive the other way. I don't think so. But the one thing that we did prove as a community is that there's enough of us and we're active enough to actually change a government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the Liberals got absolutely decimated, and they've been the de facto ruling party for 40 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think now I'm thinking and I'm just, you know, talking.
Usually the best stuff. So roll with it.
but I'm thinking that even in another election, if the Liberals or the NDP come up with something like, yeah, we're going to ban semi-autos. There are so many of us, and we've proven ourselves to be such a political force to be reckoned with, that they just, that would be a deal breaker for them to ever get into a majority government. That's what I'm thinking.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
I'm seeing that. Yeah.
Well, I think we've definitely gone into the political spectrum as far as we need to. Yeah, agreed, Trevor?
Well, you can tell because I didn't say anything, right?
That's right. So let's go back. Let's go back to guns real quick. Now, I don't want to know, you know, exactly what you own, Rod, but can you give the listeners kind of an idea what kind of quote
flavor.
Unquote arsenal is?
What kind of flavor do you like in guns?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty simple. I have a few guns that are my, you know, the guns that I shoot, which, you know, so I bucked up for the Glock as my pistol, and that I would have to say that's my favorite pistol.
The Glock, you do enjoy that. And what Glock do you have?
17. Pay attention.
Model 17, yeah.
I try not to listen if I can help it, Trevor. You know that.
You do a good job.
Hey, I have to assume that sometimes listeners don't listen too, and so I repeat the obvious questions to help them out. That's what I'm going with. Leave me alone.
You're insulting the intelligence of our listeners. What else, Rod?
Well,
I thought you were going to say what else is new, because that's never mind. Anyway, sorry.
Well, I've got the Glock. That's my personal go-to pistol, and that's the first firearm I ever bought, and it's still running. And it's probably going on, geez, I would imagine over 20,000 rounds.
How many different parts have you put in? Like, you know, other than factory parts.
There we go.
Like, have you, like, tuned it up and, like, swapped
he's
everything
running
out?
Running at factory stock. That's why it's still running.
Oh, and it works properly.
It sure
yeah,
does.
Yeah, I don't tinker with my guns that way, actually, because I don't do any competition shooting, right?
Right.
So
look
at
him being all nice to you, Trevor. He doesn't listen to the show nearly enough.
Hey, my Glock 17 is factory stock, too.
Is it?
All right, it's got a tungsten guide rod on it.
Are you sure that's it?
That's it. No, that's okay. The connector was changed, but it's still a factory.
It's still a factory connector, yeah. So that's okay then.
So shut it. What else, Rod?
Well, but with the Glock, the only thing I've ever replaced on it after all those rounds is the recoil spring. That's it.
And that's like tires in your car. That's supposed to wear out, so that's fine.
Yeah, I mean it's awesome. And then I have a couple of ARs. You guys have seen the ones in the video. I have my original Norinco AR. I took a chance back when they were supposed to be improved, when they actually were anodized instead of parkerized. And that one's still running. It's a funny thing about the AR is I was over 8,000 rounds without a single malfunction. I was bragging about that. And then at the same time, if you saw the last video I put up there, I was bragging about this Norinco ammunition, this 223 I've been getting, and I bought in bulk, as I like to buy.
Yeah, we're buying the same stuff too. It comes in either yellow boxes or the spam can, right?
Yeah, I was getting the yellow box of stuff, but I was getting that, and I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get so many in trouble, but I was getting it for, what was it, $380 for 1,600 rounds.
Yep, there's a lot of people in trouble right now. I need names and I need telephone numbers.
I've already been reprimanded, so I can't tell you who I got it from.
That's amazing, because I think the last case that Matthew and I split came up to over $500.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I had to drive drive a ways to pick that up, but anyway, I bought like six cases and sold one, but. Anyway, I was all, you know, hey, nobody gets ammo as cheap as me, and I'm sitting on all this ammo. Well, the primer started blowing out in the back of these cartridges during shooting, and so I had one primer come out, and that really it hit my original Norinco pretty hard. If you saw the video, basically the primer, I had a malfunction. I thought it was a double feed. I'm like, what the heck? And the bolt was stuck open. The bolt carrier. And I'm like, what's going on? Actually it was only open about half an inch, and the charging handle was blocked. I couldn't pull it at all. I mean, what the heck? So of course I made it safe, went back to the bench. And what I ended up doing is I ended up having to take, well, it wasn't a hammer, to be honest with you. It was the slide from my Glock, cause I'm just such a Neanderthal. but that's what a Glock's for, man.
Yeah, that's right.
I use a slide as a hammer to hammer that charging handle back to even open the action. And what had happened is that primer the primer cap itself was on top of the gas key up where the where the charging handle channel is, and the gun started malfunctioning from then on in. So I cleaned it. I did everything I could. It was unreliable.
Your gas and then tube.
I don't know.
Your gas tube probably got bent out of alignment. It's not lining up with the key as well as it should be.
Well, it is back running again. So it was not running great, but it was running. So I'm like, okay, fine. And I do have a spare AR, which I'll tell you about in 2 seconds. But I went shooting, and this was back a couple of weeks ago, another little tactical shoot. So I went through a lot of rounds, and it ran relatively well. Boom, another primer comes apart and jams up the gun again. It wouldn't even fire. So I take it home, I disassemble it, and all these tiny pieces of brass, and it was almost like sand, but it was brass, like almost vaporized brass, came out of this thing. I cleaned the heck out of it, and then I shot something like 400 rounds the weekend before last, right, when I went shooting there a couple weekends ago, and it was flawless. So the Norinco's back, but man, that ammo, I did get a good deal, but it caused me some issues.
Now, I haven't had any primers completely come out in my Norinco ammo, but I look at the back of the primer or the back of the case, and there's a hole completely punched into the primer. The primer's not just indented from the firing pin. There's a hole through the metal. Is that a sign of overpressure as well?
I think it's got more to do with how – and you know who would really know something like that is somebody that reloads, and I don't. But I think maybe the primer is protruding a little bit too far out the back of the cartridge.
Oh, maybe that's, so. Matthew, yeah, that's a guess. You had any issues with this ammo, Matthew?
I haven't had any issues yet. No, I haven't noticed.
Check your you picking up the brass?
Owen has it all.
Okay. We check and see if there's any holes in the back of the primers, because I've had several like that.
Interesting.
Where the primer's completely perforated.
Cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that out.
What's the other AR?
Well, the other AR was I had now this one I had problems. I never had issues with malfunctioning guns, right? And I always thought, oh, I don't know what it is with people, and they're saying they can't get their guns running. I've never had a problem with a gun. Yeah, until I bought this little guy. So that was the original 7.5-inch Stag AR-15, and except it was built, custom built by a guy who will remain nameless. But anyway, this guy says that he's a weapons tech, and that's all cool. And I don't know anything to the contrary, but yeah, it never worked well from day one. So I ended up selling the upper because basically it just wouldn't cycle. And I did posts on forums. I talked to people that knew about gun. I did everything I could to fix this gun. I just couldn't fix it. So I ended up selling the upper. I got enough money to buy a brand new Norinco, the 10.5 inch upper, and popped it on that Stag lower. And it seems to work just fine. So it's a bit of a Franken gun, but that's my backup AR. So still a short barrel.
Neat.
And so I shoot that, and the SU-16 is actually I enjoy that firearm a lot, and it's a really lightweight, good kind of survival rifle-ish thing. If a 223 or a 5.56 is your idea of a survival rifle, but I mean it's 4.5 pounds, and I did buck up for some decent glass on it, a Nikon Pro Staff scope, which is okay. I'm not a long range shooter, but that's a good gun. I'd recommend that one.
Yeah,
and I don't shoot a lot of other stuff.
I had the Trio. I had the SU-16. I had the Sub-2000, and I had the KSG, and I got rid of all of them.
And why did you get rid of? The KSG is actually not bad. What was the deal there?
Well, the KSG was bought for IPSC and then couldn't use it in IPSC, and it felt like the other Kel-Tec too cheap, too plasticky, and just yeah. The Sub-2000, I went and bought all the Redline Precision aluminum parts for it. I bought the aluminum quad rail that actually you can unlock and still rotate and put an optic on there and still fold up the gun. I also put the Redline Precision front sight on it. It took 1,000 rounds before it would be reliable and stop stovepiping on the last round. And then it ran flawlessly. But again, it was a plastic gun, plastic trigger. Taking it apart and putting all those little springs back together was ridiculous. And one day I closed the bolt on it and the plastic feed ramp broke in half and fell out of the bottom of the gun. I ordered the parts I needed from Kel-Tec Vault, sent them to me for free. I reassembled it and moved it out. It's a cheap gun and it's way overpriced in Canada, in my opinion. The SU-16, I went and tacti-cooled that all up. I put the compact forend on it, and I put the AR stock on it with the pistol grip, and put the Redline Precision aluminum trigger in that. Now, that gun had a sweet trigger, better than any AR that I fired, as good as my single-stage JP Industries trigger in my STI. Mm. But it's a plastic receiver. It's a metal barrel mounted into a plastic receiver. I wanted it because it was a cool black non-restricted gun, but it was just too chintzy for me in the end. Pencil barrel, you can't do any amount of shooting with it before the barrel heats up and the rounds are just flinging off everywhere. And so
you were taking a rifle that was probably meant for survival or for you know, a quick hunt, and then turning it into like a range gun. And so it was heating up too fast, of course, and with that small barrel, you know, you were losing your accuracy. So
trying to turn something into an AR that wasn't an AR, right. So I just bought the AR, right?
That's right. That's exactly so. See, I still kind of want an SU-16 just for walking around in the woods with. It wouldn't be a tactical thing. It would just be a very lightweight 2-3 rifle. But
we couldn't. Matthew and I played with it one day at his range rod, and the front sight is adjustable, and we couldn't get the front sight post low enough into the front sight to get it to shoot past 50 meters.
Hmm. That's frustrating.
The rear sight had to be pushed either all the way to the left or all the way to the right. I can't remember. I mean, and then you're mounting optics on a plastic rail as well. So just the whole thing is just, nah.
Yeah, they are cheap plasticky guns. I had a sub 2000 as well, and I got rid of that one too. And for all the same reasons. I mean, the trigger in that gun was so awful. I had a hard time believing that you know, their developers shot the thing and went, oh my god, this trigger is atrocious. But it's awful. It's like a cap gun trigger or something.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it?
And it has the weirdest. Oh, it's the weirdest recoil ever. Yeah. I mean, it has muzzle rise, man, for a 9mm rifle.
Yeah,
really mechanically strange. So I really didn't. It's a toy, right? It's a non-restricted. Yeah, exactly. Oh, look, I can fold it in half. I can put that in the back of the car. You know, whatever. That's the novelty of it. It's a novelty firearm.
Yeah, it'd be, throw it in the backpack and take it hiking with you. But right, in New Brunswick, you couldn't take it with you in the summertime. You could only take it with you in the fall. So
we've got caliber restrictions here, unfortunately.
Yeah. So, which are in the Firearms Act.
That's right. They're in the New Brunswick hunting laws.
Yeah,
wonderful. So. Yeah. But I agree with you completely on the sub 2000. But the KSG, I had an opportunity to shoot that. I just put up a video, as you saw there, about 6 weeks ago, and it's cool. The only problem with those guns, like, I love the fact that you have this auto changeover between tubes, and you can have a shotgun, pump action shotgun, that's really lightweight, nice and short, and it's 14 rounds. The problem is there's just no way to load those fast.
No, you there's no really- way. There's a lot of practice involved. Tip it on the side, and there's a bit of a feed ramp there, but still.
Yeah.
You're not loading it fast.
So if you got a Dominion Arms Grizzly, the nice I got a couple of those, the little short guys, the 12.5-inch barrels, yep. Non-restricted, tubular magazine, old school. You can't miss. You know, throwing a round under there, a shotgun shell, and getting it in the tube. It can't go anywhere else but in the tube. And you can top it up in real time. You shoot tube, top it up right away. So it's an old system, but it still works good, you know.
Have you played with the MagFed ones?
Yeah, I have. I had my next door neighbor had one of those. One of the benefits to being a PAL instructor is you get to certify your entire neighborhood.
Yeah. And
there are more guns in my the two square blocks here than I don't know.
Nice.
There's a lot of guns.
What did you think?
I hate it.
Yeah.
And the reason. Okay, so sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say reliability issues, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, I this was a guy that I certified, and he's like, well, what should I buy? And I said, well, you know, get yourself a shotgun. That's a good gun to start with. At least you have one, because it's a very versatile firearm. And I told him about the different guns, and he's like, well, I want to try that. I want to have that, you know, I want to get that mag fed one. I said, well, it's up to you, but you know, I've had problems with them, because I actually bought one and took it back.
Oh.
So he ended up getting it, and it would not feed reliably. And so he ended up emery clothing the magazines and trying to find all the little burrs and get them off and polish stuff inside all the parts so they'd run properly. He couldn't. It just was not reliable. And then, of course, you can't load it without a magazine. So that's bad. And those mags are super heavy, and I'm just not a fan of those, to be honest with you.
Ditto.
Yeah, the tubular magazine version, completely reliable, never had a misfire, never had a problem. They're great, but the magazine fed, I personally would stay away from them. If reliability is not a problem for you, you just want a toy or whatever, I think they'd be pretty good.
Good to know. Cool.
Yeah. So, but I have a variety of different firearms, and of course, tons and tons of guns in total, because a lot of them are deactivated for the course. But yeah, I typically do tactical shooting. So I have the M14. I've got, you know, multiple SKSs. I really don't shoot much else. I just shoot what if I have time to shoot, I shoot the stuff that I should be shooting.
Makes sense. That's the way I like to do it, too.
Yeah, that's why I'm selling off a bunch.
Yeah, beware the man with one gun, or, well, in realistic case, few guns.
Or three, at least.
At least three.
But you know what's exciting, though, is those T97s are out.
Yep, they are.
Really excited about that. Right now, I don't have the funds in the kitty to buy one of those. I'm hoping that somebody I know will get one so I can shoot it and videotape that and do a review. At least I get to take it for a spin. But what an exciting firearm to have in Canada finally.
Absolutely. Yep. Bullpup, black, scary, assault, quote-unquote assault weapon, but non-restricted, and you can play with it in the woods because, well, it's just another semi-automatic rifle, and that's the way it should be. So yeah. I am very happy about that. It's probably not the gun for Trevor.
Nope.
I'd kind of like to have one, just again, kind of along the same lines as a SU-16, something to play with in the woods, something to carry with me when I'm out coyote hunting or, you know, whatever, just something cool. I don't think I would use it in competition, though. It's too different from the AR. The manual of arms in the AR is just so natural that I don't think that I'd switch to something else.
I've got my XCR to fill that niche. Great all around. Kind of similar to the AR somewhat in the manual of arms, but I'm getting rid of it because, you know, I'm going to compete with ARs, so I'm just going to shoot the AR, and if I got to go hunting, I'll take a bolt action with me. But my issue with the Norinco, other than the fact that it's Norinco and I'm still, you know, not 100% on their reputation, the thing I dislike about it is not that it's a bullpup, is the carry handle. It makes it impossible to get a decent cheek weld if you put an optic on there.
Yeah, but you basically have to shoot it without an optic. You got to shoot just using the peep sights, I would think, to have a good cheek weld. I mean, you can put an optic on it. You're just going to have a chin weld instead of a cheek weld.
Yeah,
is all.
Yeah. So and that goes against, you know.
Yeah, well, if you're shooting three gun or just up close and personal stuff, that's not a big deal. It's not a great thing to be doing, but it can be done. I would probably still just shoot with the iron, so personally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree there. And if you do end up putting optics on there, some optics actually mount on top of the carry handle. So you're going to have this, you know, half a foot of sight offset.
That's the other issue.
I
hate that. I like my reticle to be as close to the bore as possible.
Yep.
Yeah, as far as me ever owning one, for one, it's $1,000. So a bullpup that is non-restricted for $1,000,
I mean,
that's a screaming deal.
It is. Yeah. It certainly is.
And the Tavor, that's overpriced, right?
Well, that's the thing. And I would buy a Tavor if they were $1,500, right? Because they're a cool gun. But a gun like that for me would be like a fun shooting gun. I mean, I'm kind of an AR fanatic. for, and I don't have to convince you guys about why that is. I mean, you know.
We hate ARs here. No, tell us why ARs are good. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, they do suck. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, three of mine are garbage.
Yeah, no, but I mean, they're like, just eight. Yeah. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Trevor. I'm like you, Rod. If I got it, it would just be a toy, and it would only be taken out once in a while.
Like all the guns you just sold off, so why buy another one like
exactly,
that?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Very cool.
It would be a fun one to do a little running and gunning to try something different. But that's just kind of a cool one to have in the collection. I would have liked to shoot, and I know a couple of guys that have the RFB, speaking of Kel-Tec, but I haven't shot one yet. But have you shot one of those, Trevor?
I have, and what I've said about the RFB is you're holding a Kel-Tec that does not feel like a Kel-Tec.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing then.
Yeah, it's almost like they had somebody else make it for them. It doesn't have the same chintzy feel as the other Kel-Tecs that I've handled. I like it. I would actually give Kel-Tec another go with that particular firearm. But again, that's an expensive firearm.
What about the fact that it's a 308 in a bullpup configuration? Was it a little heavy recoil, hard to control?
Nope.
No?
Nope, it was decent. Yeah, I shot it off of the bench. I'm sure, you know, standing and shooting it while standing at a moose or something might be interesting, but...
Well, that's the thing, though. I've always found off the bench, that's where I feel the most recoil. When I'm standing up, I feel hardly anything. It doesn't matter what I'm shooting.
Just easier to shoot off the bench, but yeah.
It's easier to shoot off the bench accuracy-wise, but I feel way more recoil whenever I'm on the bench. I enjoy shooting most of my stuff offhand just because, well, I don't really like recoil a whole lot, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like
you. You don't like recoil?
Not a whole lot, no. I'm not a huge recoil fan.
Oh, recoil's so awesome.
He's thinking of 22s.
I am, yeah. I love my 22s and my 223s and my bird shot and my shotgun.
See, I get bored shooting rimfire at the range for that reason. I want to get knocked around a little bit. I get a rush out of that.
Yeah, I agree with that. So.
Yeah. Suckers for punishment is all I got to say.
Speaking of suckers for punishment, our listeners have been punished enough.
I think so. Let's go into the listener feedback here. Yeah. Yes.
Luckily, we've only got one, so why don't you take it?
We got one in an iTunes review. So,
very good.
We can. Here's the email that comes to us from... Oh, he didn't put his name in. That's cool. Good job, Trevor.
Oh, man. My cut and pasting skills are awful. You going to get it?
Yep. Grandin.
Yeah, especially because he's like, it's the third time he's written.
This is his third time he's written in. Anyway,
I heard, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. But anyway, Grandin, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, by the way. You can write in for the fourth time and let me know if I am. He writes, gentlemen, I've written SFR twice, and twice you've read my emails on an episode. You have emboldened me, and I offer you my third. First of all, I would like to congratulate Matthew on the pending arrival of his first child. And I'm going to stop you right there, Grandin, didn't really make an announcement about this or anything, but unfortunately, Jewel and I are going to be trying again. So we'll just kind of move on from there. But we do appreciate the congratulations that we have got and the condolences from everybody else as well. But we're moving on from that, and we are going to try that again. So anyhow, continuing on with the email, he writes, all of the IPSC talk on SFR intrigued me, and I was finally able to complete my Black Badge course on the first weekend in September. No match yet, just the course so far, but I'm looking to compete at least once before the end of the season. I should add that I wish to compete and avoid disqualification. So he must have one of those Black Badges where you don't actually shoot a mini match after the Black Badge, yeah?
Well, I think we're the only section that does that. Other ones go away and pick up a match wherever they can and then report back and get their certification then. Like, take Bolivar, for example. He's done everything except for his match, so he still doesn't have his certification.
I like it our way better.
Me too.
Got to be honest with you. I mean, you go take your black badge, then you do a mini match, and then you're done. You don't have to worry about going to find another match. You just shoot it the same weekend you get your black badge, and everything's done in 3 days.
And all for $125.
Yeah, yeah. If you want your black badge, come to New Brunswick. We do it right. Anyway, he continues on, while the black badge course is compulsory for IPSC, I highly recommend this course to anyone and everyone who is thinking of competing in any discipline of pistol shooting. I have been shooting IDPA since this spring, and unfortunately I have picked up a few bad habits along the way. Black Badge is a great introduction to the principles of safety and the fundamentals of accuracy. Excuse me, I mean...
Diligentia vis celeritas.
And he puts in there, crossing my fingers that Trevor reads this. Well, he certainly did. And I believe he got it right, according to the experts online.
I'm an instructor. I'm required to know how to pronounce those words correctly.
You know, that's the first time you ever pronounced them correctly. Yeah?
That is true.
Very good. And I do want to comment on that paragraph really quickly. I was kind of the same way when I first started shooting pistols. I had absolutely zero training. I had nobody to mentor me. I just basically bought pistols once I got my restricted and went to the range and started shooting them. And same thing. Learned a lot of bad habits. Taking the Black Badge course took my shooting from like, you know, 10 all the way up to 11 kind of thing. You know, it went up to 11. And really, I wasn't at a 10. I was like at a 2.
And that, but, being said, you now shoot better than almost everybody who helped teach you that day. just saying.
Well, thank you, and this is getting uncomfortable, so I'm going to read his last paragraph here. By the way, I'm all about the production division, and my current battery is a CZ-85 Combat with a CZ-75B as my backup. I prefer a gun that is compliant for both IPSC production and IDPA SSP divisions. SSP must be service pistol something?
Sure. We'll go with that.
Okay. I don't know what SSP stands for. So, again, in your fourth email, you can let us know.
It's called stock service pistol.
Oh, stock service pistol. That's it. Never mind on that fourth email, except for to let me know if I'm pronouncing your name right. I would be interested in a Glock 34, but it is apparently a standard division gun?
Yeah.
That's correct. The barrel is too long, unfortunately. The M&P Pro makes a production division, I know, but it's no G34. I'm looking for a long sight radius and consistent trigger pull. If you keep reading, I'll keep writing. A la prochaine. And he's crossing his fingers that Owen read that, but Owen's not here.
The Glock 34 versus M&P Pro?
I'd almost go M&P Pro.
Believe it or not, so would I. I was really impressed with the M&P Pro.
Yeah, Andy has one, and we all got to shoot it, and it worked very well. I really enjoyed that pistol. Very ergonomic, very comfortable. In fact, I would say it's more comfortable than the SR9 that I currently shoot, and I find my SR9 very comfortable. So,
if you compare a Glock 17 to a Glock 34, okay, the Glock 34 is supposed to be the competition version of the Glock 17. In fact, very little has been done to that gun to prepare it for competition.
It's just a longer barrel,
longer barrel, slide.
That's longer basically
barrel,
it.
Longer barrel, longer slide, adjustable rear sight, and a minus connector. If you look at what they did with the M&P and the M&P Pro, there's more attention and detail put into the M&P Pro compared to the M&P as opposed to the 17 and 34. So I think the M&P Pro out of the box is more suitable and ready for an IPSC match than a 34.
I would say you're absolutely correct, Trevor. Yep, I would agree with all of that.
But if you were allowed to tune the gun, then you could go so much farther with your 34 than with the M&P Pro because the aftermarket parts are there, and the Glock 34 is a popular USPSA gun.
Yeah, but that being said, if you're staying in production division, why you're not allowed to tune it, and
that's
if
right.
you're going to mate or standard, why would you shoot a 34 when you can shoot a 35?
That's right, and why would you shoot a striker fired when you could shoot like a
1911?
No, a Tanfoglio stock 2.
That's true too. But, I mean, some people like me
or
prefer shooting more duty-style guns as opposed to more competition-style guns.
Yep. Also, look into the Grand Powers. The rotating barrel, polymer frame, hammer-fired. I can't wait to get my hands on one. It might be a better choice than definitely a better choice than Glock 34 and maybe even a better choice than the M&P Pro.
Maybe. Check it out for sure.
So, iTunes review, what do you got?
I catch myself chuckling each episode by Willie Darren, and
right.
He left us 5 stars. He writes, greetings, and he misspelled greetings, but we'll let that go.
We're not letting it go if you point it out, though, are we?
He writes gratings, but that's okay, from the West. And first, I must say, after being away from firearms for over 20 years, I jumped back in with both feet. It is a great
it is great to find a podcast which is informative, respectful, and down to earth. And then he found us, basically, is what happened. Since reviving my love for shooting, I have joined the local club, the KTSA, which is a Kamloops Target Shooting Association, and have got enough hunting tags to fund the government for a year. It seems I took for granted my youth in Saskatchewan shooting ducks, geese, and deer. But with that passion, my passion is being dispensed to my daughters, two girls, both in their 20s, of which one is waiting for her pal to arrive. I may shoot old tractor parts, i.e. 60-year-old military replicas, or relics, the TT-33 SKS Winchester Model 1200 and Remington 721, but I'm shooting, having a blast, and have taken 5 newbies to the range this summer alone. For your information, yeah, that's fantastic.
That's all in one iTunes review?
Yeah, this is all one iTunes review, and it's not done yet.
Okay.
This guy's amazing. He's doing a really good job with his shooting and stuff. Anyway, he continues on. For your information, I listened to episode 23. I felt for you all as you languish about moose draws. I'm packing as I listen. Moose limited entry next week in BC. Perhaps I'll move from World War II tractor parts to something new and try Ipsic or such. But till then, I'll always invite the uninitiated to see what fun shooting can be. Keep up the great podcast, anyone. Hey, you should have the gals on, too. For all the female listeners out there, my two daughters, he says. Take care, nice. Willie Darren, as iron sharpens iron, he signs off. So I guess his daughters want to hear some more female voices. So Owen will be back next week.
Oh!
Had to get him under the bus at some point.
Yeah. That's an excellent review. Thank you very much. Put a lot of time into that. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I don't know what this other respectful podcast is you're thinking of, but point us in the right direction, would you?
Please, yeah. I'd like to get some culture. More importantly, thank you for doing your part to help promote that culture by taking people out shooting.
Absolutely. That's the only way we're going to continue growing this sport and keeping it alive in Canada, that and voting conservative. So make sure you do both.
I concur.
Very good. So some shout-outs. Trevor, do you have any shout-outs?
No.
Oh, well, I have two. Actually, technically three. The first one is to Joe and Dan, which is kind of 2-in-1. They're from Michigan on their way to Newfoundland to hunt a moose, and they stopped and helped Jewel with her flat tire on Monday. So that was very cool of them.
Nice.
Was that actually Monday? That may have been another day, but whatever. The day she had her flat tire. So yeah. So Dan and Joe, thanks for stopping and helping out with that. And apparently it's Rod's birthday today. So Rod, happy birthday.
Oh, that's a surprise, yeah. Thank you very much.
You're like, what? Who's Rod and why is he having a birthday? No, it's you, man.
No, it's your birthday.
So this is where Trevor sings you happy birthday.
No, this is actually not that part.
Nope. Actually, I've got a happy birthday song that I'm going to splice into this show because I'm putting the extra effort in for you.
You're gonna make me cry, man.
Crickets.
Yeah, listen, and you'll see. So, thanks again for wasting an hour and a half of your time listening to us jabber on about guns. We really appreciate it. We love all of our listeners out there, and we wouldn't do this without you because this is basically how we started off, just talking and having fun. Yeah, Trev?
I do have a shout-out.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, to Tommy from the Gun Dudes.
Oh.
We stretched this one out for you just because you commented last week on the Gun Dudes that our shows go long. So if you hadn't commented last week on the Gun Dudes that our shows go long, we wouldn't have taken the extra time and attention necessary to make this particular show go long just for you. So we hope that you appreciate the efforts we put into making the show go long for you because it's all about you, Tommy. Tactical Tommy from Utah, who I open carried with.
That was awesome. We technically could have cut this like half an hour ago, but we were having way too much fun, and no. Tommy was listening, and we needed to waste more of his time.
Absolutely.
Are we not having Tommy on next week?
I was just going to say that, yeah, but you beat me to it, you bum.
I do that sometimes.
Tommy will be on the Slamfire radio show next week to discuss all things Tommy. Tommy's got a new training academy that he started. He's a certified MAG 40 instructor now. He just shot a 300 at the last MAG 40. And, that reminds me. Oh, did I mention that? I did. I already talked about it, how my student, my perfect score from last year stands. And, yeah, I can never talk about myself enough. You know that.
No, of course not.
So, yeah. No student shot a 300 at MAG 40 this year. But Tommy did, so that's cool. So, yeah, Tommy will be on with us next week to help us waste your time.
Very cool. Well, I do have a bit of an update on our Facebook race. The library is currently sitting at 258 likes, and we are now at 198 likes. So we're almost at 200, people.
Closing the gap.
So we're getting there. We're within, like...
Like, we still suck. Don't get us wrong.
No, of course. We're not nearly as cool as they are yet, but we're getting there. So help us out. Go like us on Facebook. Also, go join one or both, preferably both, of our National Firearms Associations, the CSSA and the NFA. They do good things for you. Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada, and be sure to check out the other great shows on both the CRR Network and the Crusader Podcast Network. So, yeah. Rod, again, happy birthday, man. Thanks for joining us.
We're just sorry.
We're just, it's unfortunate, really, that it is the way it is.
We enjoyed having you. Clearly, we know you won't be back. We understand.
No, I appreciate you guys having me on. It was a great time.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah, we enjoyed it, definitely. Cool. All right, folks, we will catch you next week. Trevor? Take somebody shooting.
Oh, take somebody shooting.
You did the Ron Burgundy thing earlier, remember?
It's my thing. I'll do it when I want.
All right. Take somebody Ron Burgundy?
I like it.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
You made it this far, and you haven't been killed by sharks. You haven't stepped on a landmine, you haven't had your body torn apart. Blood is still pumping through the functional valves of your heart. And you're smart and you're alive and you can sleep and wake up and don't choke on your food and don't fall in the shower. You've survived one more year and we're terribly proud of you. Peanuts can be deadly and so can a shellfish in a potty that chooses to go. Had a seizure, or if you'd had an aneurysm, you could have lost the parts of your brain that would know that I know that in all of these years you didn't let your skin burn off. You didn't drink poison, you didn't lose your lungs to whooping cough. Cells are still dividing to replace any cells that you've lost. And you're smart and you're alive and you can take your prescriptions as much as you need them, not more than you need them, not so you OD on them. You haven't been shot by a stranger, you haven't been shot by a friend. You haven't perished in a plane crash or grabbed a live wire by the end. There's a lot you did not do to be here with us now. So we're proud and we're proud and we're proud.